said you would not.
Roundtable discussion today with everybody about sexuality, lots of different topics. I just want to first reiterate, we've already talked about this, but to everybody here, if you don't feel comfortable sharing or you don't want to go as, you know, you only go as deep into a topic as you feel comfortable, you are on the radio. Just a reminder.
Just before we get going here for listeners, in case you are unaware, this is a panel discussion hosted by Clara Duber and Dora Duber about asexuality, and you are listening to Full Spectrum Radio Waves on CITR 101.9 FM. Thank you for tuning in. In about an hour, we are going to have a live in-studio performance with Devours. So stay tuned for that, but listen through this roundtable discussion on asexuality.
All right, question one. What label or word/words do you use for your sexual identity or your sexuality? Do you feel that it is lacking in any way?
Which way do we want to go? Yeah. Who wants to start?
I can just start.
Pick it up, Dora.
I have identified for a little while as asexual, which is, like, kind of exciting. And I do feel like it's kind of lacking because I feel like there's so much more to it than, like, it's not just, like, you don't, like, want to have sex. I just, like, I do, maybe it's just because I'm not totally asexual. Maybe because I just don't know all the different labels and everything. But, I just, like, don't really, like, when I'm in my life, I'm not like, I want to have sex with you. I'm just kind of like, but I can get, like, turned on, but it just kind of takes a lot longer, I guess I would say.
Hmm. So do you mind if I ask a question about that?
Yeah, go for it.
Does that sort of, like, preclude, preclude romantic attachment as well? Or do you still feel sort of, like, romantically inclined towards people? And if so, does that sort of, like, is there a preference there? And it's only sort of as to, like, the sexual connection that you feel is labeled by asexuality?
I see sexuality, or, like, sex in general, as just, like, one aspect of a relationship. Like, I do, like, it's just, like, having a really close friend and then, like, kind of boyfriend, girlfriend, wife, or husband, it kind of just, like, assumes, like, then there's a sexual kind of relationship going on. So, like, yeah, I do, like, I like having people who are close to me, and I like having romantic relationships, but I don't necessarily feel a need to include sex in that equation.
So what's your experience with, like, in that sense, have you ever had experience with, like, a monogamous relationship, or, like, are the relationships you're describing necessarily sort of, like, do you not even bother with that, or is that even, like, is it...
This is an ideal. I have not yet had a totally sexless relationship, because not very many people are ace, so usually sex just kind of happens eventually, which is, like, fine. It's whatever.
My name is Claire Duber, and I identify as asexual. And I am Dora Duber, and I have identified as asexual. We'll unpack that in a little bit. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. Before we get started, we do want to acknowledge that we are broadcasting from the unceded land of the Coast Salish and Musqueam peoples here on UBC campus at CITR's station. You guessed it, this is Pride programming, and we are talking about asexuality.
Woohoo!
Woo! Shout out to Madeline and Alex for coordinating all of this. That's really awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. I almost said you're welcome, and then I was like, no, that's not me. but whatever. So, dear Clara, what is asexuality?
Asexuality, how I define it. Oh, I also do kind of want to start off by saying, like, these are our personal experiences with asexuality. How we define asexuality is not how everyone defines asexuality. And, like, these are our experiences and our own, like, sexuality journeys. I don't want to, like, speak for the asexual community, even though we are large.
we've been saying that we're asexual icons all week. And you know what? Now it's true. It's happening. We're coming out. We're saying it. We're embracing it. Let us be your ace icons, because we are so ready.
So, the internet defines asexual as without sexual feelings or associations, or a person who has no sexual feelings or desires. Personally, how I define asexuality is not feeling attracted to people in that way. Like, I am I have never seen someone and been like, I want to have sex with you. like, that just seems like it just isn't something that's ever crossed my mind when thinking mm-hmm. about other people. But how do you define asexuality?
Probably the same way. I guess I want to start out by saying that asexuality is a spectrum.
Yeah.
So kind of like the little teaser that I gave earlier that I have in the past identified with asexual is I now kind of think of myself as more as gray sexual.
Yeah.
Or bi. Or pan, I guess. You know what? Who knows? Honestly, if you have the answer, tell me, because I'm lost right now. But that is not to say that ace people don't know what their asexuality is.
Yeah. I'm pretty set.
Yeah, people, like, it's a valid and real sexuality. And I think that's, like, the main thing that Claire and I want to, like, conclude and, like, just reiterate is that, like, asexuality exists. Only about 1% of the population identifies as asexual, and that's still 1% of the population that, like, deserves representation and deserves, like, yep. to be vocal.
Or even just, like, deserves to have other people acknowledge that.
I think a good example of that, we started the episode off with a little snippet from a roundtable discussion on sexuality that the Women's Collective, now the Gender Empowerment Collective at CITR, had on their late show, Lady Radio. And that was probably the first time I'd used asexual as a word to describe myself to other people. It was a lot of people. It was just in Studio A. We were on air. It was live. And we didn't really know how to start a discussion. I was like, okay, I'll just go because I'm a freak and kind of dropped this weird bomb.
Very niche.
Very niche. I don't think anyone really expected to hear it. I remember saying it and people's faces being like, what? Like, oh, okay, we're doing this now. Like, cool. I thought that was also pretty funny because it was kind of, I was surrounded by a bunch of young college women. So most of the convo was like, I've experimented with girls, but, like, I think I'm straight. And I don't, like, just, like, going guns blazing into this convo with, like, I think I'm ace. It was, like, not how anyone expected it to go, but it's what happened. And I think this clip was really exemplary because one of the people in the room just immediately started asking me questions. First, they were like, so if you don't feel sexual attraction, do you want romantic relationships? And, like, being aromantic is, like, super valid and, like, totally exists. Mm-hmm. But it's not what
asexuality,
I said.
Yeah.
It's not, like, asexuality and being aromantic are not, like, the same and do not equate each other, which I thought was, like, kind of a weird thing to equate. And then another question was, like, so you just, like, don't. You're not attracted to anyone. Like, what would a relationship, what even is a relationship if you aren't sexually attracted to anyone?
Right.
And I was like, an emotional bond? Like, I don't know what to say beyond, like, literally every other part of a relationship.
Yeah.
Which was, like, pretty bizarre. So, like, just, like, I think that conversation was, like, really eye-opening for me because I'd never said it to anyone before. I'd never had a conversation with anyone about it before. And I'd never had to, like, really interrogate it. Like, I'd never had anyone else kind of question it or, like, have any questions about it. Because I feel like everyone's sexual experience is, like, very convoluted and complex. But, like, and, like, it can take a really long time to realize all the different levels and layers to it. And everyone's on their own timeline. But I think that, like, your experience is, I don't want to say, like, very clear to you, but, like, I just, like, never would have equated a romantic relationship and a sexual relationship, like, in my head. I don't know. It was, like, it was a weird eye-opening thing for me. And it made me, like, kind of question, like, kind of interrogate myself a little bit more. But trying to go back to your original question, I define asexuality as this very similarly to you.
With the element of a spectrum.
Yeah, there's a spectrum, but I think I frame it in a more of a relationship way.
Like, I think of asexuality as, like, a way to approach a relationship with another person that's kind of sexless.
Yeah.
Which I also think is essentially every friendship. Like, I think that, like, being asexual just means that I, like, have as many friends as I want and as many as, like, deep relationships with people as I want, without, like, an added, just, like, an addition to any of these relationships that, like, so I think of all my relationships as, like, very balanced in that, like, the weight that I give them is, like, what I've kind of chosen to, like, emotionally give and, like, invest in. So that's what that means to me. I also, like, kind of, I would say, like, again, like, gray gender. Obviously, sexuality and gender are, like, two very different things. But just kind of, like, in kind of the spirit of visibility, we're not going to talk about this for a lot of the episode, I don't think, but, or most of it. But agender, according to Wikipedia, is
denoting or relating to a person who does not identify themselves as having a particular gender.
Thank you. I tried to read and my eyes are like, I don't know what those symbols are. So yeah, that's also something that, like, I identify with quite kind of strongly. I don't think of myself as very womanly or very manly. I just think of myself as, like, again, like, kind of like a blank slate where, like, I can perform whatever gender I want to perform without feeling like really weighted in anything. But so I just wanted to mention that as, like, asexuality, like, exists, but so does this other thing that I think, like, even less people know about. So shout out to all the agender people out there. Yeah, what do you think? Do you want to add anything to this?
I guess I kind of wanted to, you talked about how, like, you were kind of publicly, you came out kind of publicly as asexual. I had a pretty similar experience, not quite as public, but I was, like, playing Truth or Dare, and, someone, like, I said truth, and the truth was, like, what's something you never told anyone, and the one thing I could think of was, I'm asexual, and again, like, nobody knew what that meant. And they were like, what does that mean?
We just want to get drunk.
Exactly. And so then I had to, like, define it. And then, like, we kept playing Truth or Dare, and it was, like, silly, goofy stuff. And I was like, oh, that, like, was a very weird way for me to come out.
But, like, something you kind of had to do.
Yeah.
Not that you have to come out, but, like, something for you yourself.
Something for me myself that I felt like I had to do. Because I did feel like it was very obvious.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to me, I was like, clearly I'm asexual. But that's, like, never hadn't occurred to anybody.
Yeah.
At all. I remember, like, in high school, in, like, sex ed, they would talk about how, like, we, like, teenagers have sexual urges and, like, they have lots of hormones and, like, they want to have sex all the time. And I remember being so angry at, like, big sex ed for slandering teenagers and, like, making this stereotype that, like, we feel like we have to fill because, like, we're told that we are, like, we're super sexual and, like, but we aren't actually, like, nobody really wants to have sex when, like, that was purely my experience. Like, and I was surrounded by nerds who, like, never had sex
for different reasons.
Yeah, but like for very different reasons, but I felt like very validated in my interpretation of of my experience. But yeah, like, it was always so obvious to me, and like it never occurred to me that other people wanted to have sex. Like, that just wasn't a thought that crossed my mind.
Yeah, I think that's, like, one of the pillars of asexuality is, like, it's just not on your mind.
I sort of define asexuality as, like, the absence of something.
Yeah.
Not in that, like, you're missing something. Yeah. But, like, because I think that, like, other sexualities, like, heterosexuality, it's, like, you aren't attracted to X gender and you are attracted to this specific gender, and like same with homosexuality and like pansexuality, like you're attracted to all genders, but like you are aware of this because it's something that you think about.
Mm-hmm.
Like you see a person and you're like, I am attracted to that person or I'm not attracted to that person. Whereas asexuality, like,
it never, like, I forget that I'm asexual because I don't think about it ever. There's never any, like, I am, like, I have this experience with this person and this experience with this person. I have the same experience with every person. So, it's never in the forefront of my mind.
But I do want to kind of, as an addendum and also, like, you're okay, is, like, I think
not sexually attracted.
But then also, maybe this is just, Clara and I have also had very different experiences with sex.
Mm-hmm.
I was in a sexual relationship for a really long time, and I kind of regret that relationship for a lot of reasons, but I do think that it was, a pretty sexually unhealthy relationship. So, I also don't know how much of my, it's a weird, back and forth kind of in my brain, because I've had this relationship, I feel, pretty, sexually experienced. I don't think of it as something that's, so outside of a relationship's dynamic or, sphere. I think of it, as, quite integral to a relationship. But then also, because it was so unhealthy, I don't know how much of my... And this is also not to say that asexual people are, all sexually traumatized.
Yeah.
But I don't know how much of my aversion to sex at this time in my life is, because of how bad this relationship was for me.
Right.
That's also why I don't feel, super comfortable using the asexual label.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Because I just don't know how much of it is, trauma. But that being said, sexuality is fluid. I am kind of thinking of this hour. I don't know about you, but I am kind of thinking of this hour as, kind of a PSA to anyone who identifies as asexual or, is questioning their, sexuality in terms of asexuality and sexuality kind of it's you can put this not you can just put this label on yourself but maybe it's just my brain but I think of it as a pretty transitional fluid label to apply
the label
to
is plastic
yeah totally I that's also why I prefer gray sexual because it does kind of it lets me live in this nice gray area literally so it's just if you just don't if you're in a point in your life where you, don't want to be having sex with people, that's fine. you don't have to be, and you can say you're ace. You can say it. Something, I was listening to Flower Boy, the new Tyler, the Creator album, and he has one of my favorite songs, Pothole. And he's like, I don't want to have sex with anyone. I don't want to have a sexual relationship with anyone because I'm focusing on myself. I'm, working on my career, and, maybe I'll want that later down the line, but, I don't want that right now. I'm not saying that Tyler, the Creator, is ace. I would never put that label on someone. But I do think of that as, a gray sexual, yes! you don't need this in your life. You can
you
choose.
Identified very strongly with
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I
as
did.
A gray sexual.
This is not something that, you need to survive, which I, appreciated.
Yeah. Same. I have never really had a relationship. I've had relationships with people. I've never really
I've
had
lived it. In a closet. Both literal and mental.
No, I've never really had a sexual relationship. In my first year of university, I had a lot of sexual experiences. Not a lot. I had a couple sexual experiences that were much more based in, this is what I'm supposed to do right now. Mm-hmm. I am a young woman free from the shackles of her parents' home. I can go wild. But I, really didn't enjoy any of them. I think that most of the way that I approach relationships are I, assume that it's not going to be sexual. And I try to very clearly, be as unsexed in, my interaction with people as possible. The biggest way that I think asexuality affects my relationships is I am worried that people want a sex relationship when it just is not on the table for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I work really hard to try to navigate that because I don't want to sit someone down and be I'm asexual, we're never having sex. I try to work really hard so it never gets to that point. Mm-hmm. I want it to be as clear as possible from the beginning.
Also, I don't want to keep adding, like, addendums to what you say, because, like, this is clearly your life. But, like, if you identify as asexual and have sex with someone and, like, want to have sex with someone.
Still asexual.
Yeah, that does not negate your asexuality. Yeah. This is just, like, Clara's life.
Yes.
And it's what Clara needs, and I'm very proud of her. Because that is also something that I'm not very good at, I don't think. Is I, like, let things be really ambiguous for a while. And I think that, like, is because I started being sexual a little younger than you. Where I, like, still felt like I really had to be sexual. So, but I don't think I really wanted to be. So I would, like, play this line of, like, is she being sexual? Are they not? That I still feel, like, weirdly comfortable in.
Yeah, because that's, like, how you have been approaching relationships, and like that's how you've learned to approach relationships,
which isn't healthy and I need to work on, but also gray.
Yeah,
grace.
You also, like, don't, if you're asexual, you don't have to, you aren't obligated to come out to anybody.
No,
like, just because people assume that you are a sexual person does not mean that you need to clarify that confusion if it makes, like, you uncomfortable, and, like, you do not owe anybody that. You aren't obligated to do that stuff. That being said, neither of us have come out as asexual to our family. Mm. I think that, like, our mother definitely, like, assumes just that I think assumed we aren't straight and is therefore been like, oh, they're gay. Which is not something that I identify with.
Mm-mm.
I've, like, that comes from the same place of, like, you weren't really, like, because I don't care about, I personally do not care about sex at all. I think it's so unimportant, like, for me. So, like, I feel like with my parents, you don't need to know this.
Yeah.
If this is information, like, what are you going to do with it? Like, you can't, like, set me up with anybody, like it's such a, I see my sexuality as, like, so passive that, like, it's not information they need to know, and it's not information that, like, is really important for them at all. And it would just I feel like it would just lead to them assuming that I'm confused.
Yeah.
Which is, like, just not a conversation I want to have.
Yeah. I don't know if I'd ever come out to them. Because I also, like, something that I feel weird about, even, like, doing this hour, is that, like, I think of you as, like, very solid in your asexuality, whereas I'm on, like, quite shaky foundation.
Yeah. Also, the, like, my, like, sexuality, I think, as a broad thing, is fluid. I feel like my asexuality is fluid. Maybe not, like, two very far reaches, but definitely I'm not, like,
I'm never
unsexed all the time.
Fair. Yeah, I don't know. I also think it'd be, I think mainly Clara, I don't know if you can tell, but Clara and I have the same parents. And I don't know if this is something that, like, other ace people would benefit from hearing.
Yeah.
Although I guess, like, I just like to reiterate, you, like, I don't think they would in 20 million years understand it.
No.
Ever.
And I think that if we ever did, like, start to have a relationship with anybody,
they would be overjoyed.
They would be overjoyed, but also be like, they aren't asexual.
Yeah.
Like, they thought they were asexual, but, like, I don't know. They were just, like...
I think that the kind of funny linear understanding that, like, even, like, liberal arts, like, big city people,
yeah,
like, metropolitans have in their, like, 40s and 50s, is still very straight or gay.
Yeah.
I think bi would also be, like, not really understood as well.
Yeah.
Pan would just be like, what?
Pan, they would be like, oh, you're bi. Like,
yeah. But, like, the bi, like, kind of like the sexual binary does not include asexuality. And it would, I think, this is not to say that, like, asexuality is harder to understand than any other sexuality.
Yeah.
Like, that is not something that I believe and not something that I want to seem like I'm saying. But I think that, like, it's so not within the, like, social vocabulary. I think that, like, understanding it is like very difficult for people who just like haven't encountered it.
Yeah.
Also because sex is like so ingrained.
Yeah.
In our Western beautiful patriarchal society.
I don't know, man. I'm making a lot of discoveries about myself. This might get awkward, but f- it, let's just get awkward. I've recently realized that I have a very medium sex drive. And that's okay. Feel how awkward I got in here right when I said that shit? Every guy's like, I want to fuck all the time. I don't know what this guy's talking about. Someone better get this giant eunuch off stage. I'm just saying, our culture is way too sexually obsessed. We are. We keep pushing sex. Like, you're an American. Every commercial's like, you're an American, man. You should want to fuck. What? I'm trying to watch Night Court on a Thursday afternoon. You're a dude, got a d- want to bang? I like to nap, too. Why don't you advertise like that? Drink Budweiser, take a nap. Done. Done. That's way more my speed. Is it cloudy out? I was already headed that way.
LGBTQ2I Night is a positive space for folks to learn about bike maintenance in a relaxed environment led by queer mechanics and volunteers. It takes place on the fourth Wednesday of every month at the Bike Kitchen on UBC's campus. Bring your own bike and fix them with our tools, come with questions and ask away, or learn by watching other folks work on their bikes. Beginners are always welcome. This event is entirely free to attend and there will be free pizza. For more information, visit bikecoop.ca.
We don't need to tell you that Vancouver has a housing problem.
Mass evictions.
Mass rent evictions.
Unfair rent increases.
What happened to rent control and protection from unfair eviction?
If these or other housing matters concern you, you may be interested in joining the Vancouver Tenants Union. For more information, visit tenantsunion.ca.
Okay, so that was a clip from a Dan Soder set.
And it was like a reaction clip.
It was, yeah.
Okay, so who is Dan Soder?
Dan Soder is a comedian. He's like a 30-year-old comedian living like in New York City. Dan, D-A-N, Soder, S-O-D-E-R.
Yep.
He's really funny.
He's very funny.
Wendor and I were finding content to like put in this episode
segment hour
piece of art. My God.
I had seen this set and I wanted to put it in, and we started watching the clip just to verify that it was the right clip, and we started laughing watching it, and we were like, oh no, we have to put our reactions in. But yeah, so that was a clip that I really liked watching as an asexual person. Mm-hmm. Just because I was like, yes, like definitely the North American society in which like I navigate so often is so oversexed and so just like
assumes sex,
like assumes sex and assumes like aggressive sex.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah,
kind of like constant underlying sex.
Exactly. And like in a very
kind of like, I mean, I think it's very active.
Yeah, that's what I was, that's the word I was trying to look for, like, but in an actively like I am insist on partaking in this. I thought that just like clip of a set was really good for this episode, just because, like, one, I think it does speak to the, like, aggressive sexuality that is assumed, mm-hmm. In the culture in which I move, and we move, I think, and two, also, like, I do not think that Dan Soder identifies as asexual, mm-hmm. but, like, it's, you don't have to have a high libido.
Or even gray sexual.
Yeah. Or even, like, yeah. I don't think he identifies as on the asexual spectrum. But, like, having a low libido does not equate asexuality. Like, it's okay to have a low libido.
Yeah.
And
that's
you,
like, so normal.
Yeah. And so I really love that clip.
I love it too. I'm glad you love it.
I mean, we kind of touched on this before, but I just want to circle back. It kind of has to do with, like, the assumption, but, like, I came out on this radio episode surrounded by, like, really lovely women who I, like, consider really good friends of mine. And they, like, have accepted my asexuality.
Mm-hmm.
But weirdly, a lot of times it's forgotten. A lot of the times, I'll start talking about someone who I have a crush on, and, like, suddenly something seems to be explained. Suddenly it's like, oh, okay. Like,
so you want to have sex with that person. And it's like,
I don't know, maybe. Like, let's back up. Like, we could, like, have that convo later. But it's very consistently dismissed, which I find, like, kind of frustrating, but also, like, understandable.
Yeah.
And, like, not dismissed in, like, that's not real, but dismissed in, like, I don't know.
Just because, like, the, like, sexuality is so assumed that, like, I think feel like for asexual people, the second they show, like, any kind of interest in, like,
or even, like, even romantic interest.
Yeah, like, any kind of interest, what, like, could potentially be a sexual relationship, people are like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Like, so you actually are sexual.
You've joined. You're, yeah. You figured it out.
Like, this is, because that's also, like, how I think that most people that I interact with are sexual people. And so if I am talking about my own, like, crushes or things that, like, relationships, potentially romantic relationships that I want to have, they are, like, they're thinking about it as they themselves would approach the situation. And they themselves would approach it with elements of sexuality that, like, just aren't there in my interpretation of these relationships and, like, these events.
Yeah, totally. We're going to take a quick break.
Thanks so much for tuning in to this special hour of Pride programming.
We're going to be playing Morrissey's Ask, potentially Ace Icon. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. That's what you're listening
you're
to.
You're doing it.
You're doing it.
Right now.
And shyness can stop you from doing all the things in life you'd like to. Shyness is nice, and shyness can stop you from doing all the things in life you'd like to. Is nice, and kindness can stop you from saying all the things in life you'd like to. So if there's something you'd like to try, if there's something you'd like to try, ask me, I won't say no, how could I? Spending warm summer days indoors, writing frightening Luxembourg. Ask me, ask me, ask me, ask me, ask me, ask me, because if it's not love, then it's the bomb, the bomb, the bomb, the bomb, the bomb, the bomb, the bomb that will bring us together. Nature is a language, can't you read?
To tell you about Unceded Airways?
What's that?
Isn't that some kind of indigenous radio show?
It sure is. Tell me, are you down for decolonization? Yeah. What?
I certainly wish I could hear about indigenous issues, people, and events on the radio.
You're in luck, because Unceded Airwaves talks about all these things and more every Monday morning at 11.
Music from indigenous artists and coverage of all the hot happenings in indigenous art and entertainment.
On CITR 101.9 FM.
Oh, wow. And they broadcast all this from the traditional, ancestral, and unceded territory of the Musqueam people?
Find out for yourself. Monday mornings at 11. Yeah. Or find episodes online at CITR.ca.
Today we're joined in the studio by the Cedar Program Youth.
Where you at?
Are You Aware Radio, alternate Thursdays 6 to 7 p.m. at CITR 101.9 FM. Profiling music and musicians take the route of positive action over apathy.
Welcome back to the special hour of Pride programming here on CITR 101.9 FM. You just heard Ask by Morrissey, who is a famous, kind of maybe not so famous, asexual icon. He does not identify as asexual anymore, I don't think, but for a while, he was like the only ace celebrity ever.
Yeah.
So, thank you, Morrissey. Check out The Smiths. They're pretty good, if you haven't heard of them. Before we get started, we just really quickly want to acknowledge that we are broadcasting from the unceded territories of the Musqueam and Coast Salish peoples here on UBC campus at the CITR station. If you couldn't really guess from the asexuality, like almost like seemingly random asexuality of Morrissey, Clara and I are talking about asexuality
and our experiences with it.
Woo! Riveting.
For you guys.
I know. I was thinking about this the other day, like the idiom or whatever that like sex sells, our content
will never sell.
Yeah, no profits I don't think will ever be
no
made.
Revenue.
No, just loss.
Yeah.
Financially. But emotional growth and gain.
Wow. For us and you guys.
So potato potato. Clara and I spoke a little earlier on our personal experiences with asexuality as a label and like as a sexuality, and just like talked and mulled over some of those thoughts. And now we're gonna be talking about asexuality in the media pretty briefly. We don't have a lot of time left, but we just want to give that a shout out.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah, a couple days ago, I was talking to a friend of mine who identifies as a lesbian, and she was talking about how terrible lesbian representation is in media.
Which is true.
Yeah, no, I'm not trying to say that lesbian representation is not lacking. Like, that's not what's happening. But, so she's talking about how she... Never seen like a positive like lesbian relationship in the media, and I was like, yeah, I've never seen any asexual representation. Like, that's literally never happened.
Yeah.
And she was just like, oh my god, it never occurred to me that there was no representation at all.
Yeah.
Like, she didn't even know what asexuality was when I told her I was asexual. Like, she, like, there was no, like, the vocabulary is not in the culture in any way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was thinking about this kind of, and, like, that's so, it's, like, so true. I was thinking about this kind of with, the whole thing with the Trump ban on, or just, like, whatever, of, like, trans military officers. And how, like, he and Ivanka keep tweeting LGBT, LGBT. Never Q, which I also think is funny. But those are kind of, like, the pillars.
Yeah.
Of, like, the cultural understanding. Lesbian, gay, bisexual, and trans. All of which have varying degrees of, like, credibility almost in, like, mainstream culture. Like, gay and lesbian are
way more visible in that, like, people, like, know that they exist. Whereas, like,
bisexuality is, like,
so often disputed.
So often disputed. And then just, like, being trans is, like, such a, like, cultural and, like, societal show. But QIA2P
plus.
Yeah, like, it's almost like people are like, that's too many letters. Like, we can focus on four. Like, and then the rest, just, like, no one knows.
Yeah.
And, like, not even no one knows, like, no one's ever heard of asexuality. No one has ever heard of, like, intersex or two-spirit. But people kind of, like Kat said, don't even think, don't, like, can't even conceive, or, like, don't even conceive of yeah. them. Which is, like, pretty bizarre. But so, Claire and I were doing a little
research.
So we were kind of looking at, like, thinking about asexuality in different forms of media, or, like, different kinds of content. So, like, film, TV,
YouTube,
and literature. And one of the funny things I think that came up, just, like, in, like, a really preliminary, like, Wikipedia search, was the first entry in, like, a list of asexual representation.
In literature
was A Room with a View, E.M. Forster's A Room with a View. And one of them was Cecil. And for those of you who don't know the book or have not seen the movie, with Helena Bonham Carter and
Daniel Day-Lewis.
Maggie Smith. Yes. but Cecil is Lucy, Helena Bonham Carter's character's fiancé. And he's kind of like a silly, like, rich guy. He's just, like, very pretentious and doesn't really know her.
Very sterile.
Yeah. And he is listed as an asexual character, which I was, like, kind of, like, surprised by.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other character was Mr. Beeb.
The pastor.
Who is a pastor. Like, yes, of course he lives a sexless life. He's in the church.
Yeah.
Like,
that's what? Not actually ace representation.
No. So that's, like, I thought that was just, like, a funny way to preface, like, this is what the asexual community is working with right now. That's, like, considered ace representation, or, like, is in a list of things that people have once at some time considered asexual representation.
It also kind of weirdly conflates asexuality with celibacy.
Mm-hmm. Which is not true.
No.
A thing that I don't think that we really touched on that much in the first part of this lovely segment was you can be asexual and have sex.
Mm-hmm.
And you can be
sexual and choose not to have sex.
Yeah. And, like, that doesn't make you less asexual.
The measure of how much sex you have doesn't actually speak to whether or not you're asexual.
Mm-hmm. So, like, that's also a funny thing that, the asexual community is kind of, like, also, I think, like, amongst themselves is, like, kind of,
yeah,
reconciling with. Like, I definitely, I mean, like, not to, like, go back to myself, I'm like, oh, I think I'm asexual, but, like, I've slept with people, like, I've had a lot of sexual experiences, like, what does that mean for me and, like, mm-hmm. my identity? Because sexuality and sex, like, are, like, very clearly conflated. But I think that asexuality is, like, a fun gray zone where, like, you really have to feel it out for yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, that actually, in 2011, there was a documentary called Asexuality
Aptly named.
Yes.
Asexuality.
Not very imaginative title, I will admit. But in it, Dan Savage is interviewed, kind of like about what the definition of asexuality. Mm-hmm. And like this interview
and
is
for the listeners who don't know, Dan Savage yes. wrote a,
right.
Sex, continues to write like a sex centered, sex positive.
And like LGBTQ friendly.
Yeah. Or like centric.
Yeah.
Like sex advice column
mm-hmm.
and has for like so many years.
Yeah. But so like this interview is prefaced by a bunch of asexual people defining asexuality and what their asexuality means to them and like how they relate to the term asexuality. And it's also like it's prefaced by the asexual community saying how they define asexuality.
And also like saying there is an asexual community.
Yes. And they define it with like it's a spectrum. You don't need to not have sex to be asexual. You can masturbate and still be asexual. Like, you can, like, have sex with someone and still be asexual. Like,
the act of sex does not determine or yeah. negate your asexual identity.
Yeah, the asexual community came together and said this. And then they interviewed Dan Savage, who says that asexuality is, like, having zero sexual urges, you can never have sex.
Yeah, if you can have sex once,
yeah,
you are not asexual.
If you orgasm once, you're not asexual. Like, you can never be in any kind of relationship because, like, he can't, I think, conceive of relationship without sex.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was honestly just, like, so jarring to watch this person, like,
it's like sex icon.
Exactly. A sex icon, like, completely, like, refuse to accept the terms of asexuality that asexuals have set.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, so dogmatically. I remember just being so angry watching that documentary. And I think that that's something that people often think about asexuals. I think that asexuals don't see or, like, have, like, physiology,
mm-hmm.
Which is, like, and, like, saying people who do identify as asexual, telling them, like, oh, no, actually, you don't fit the definition that I have, so you aren't asexual.
Yeah, so that label means nothing.
Yeah, like, you just don't really know what you're saying, and I'm sorry, like, you're confused, I get it, is so patronizing and small-minded.
But that is also, I think, that's really something that also media, like, other representations of asexuality within the limited array, like, kind of
grapple with.
So often, people who are identified as asexual are also identified as, like, having a mental illness. Like, in that list that had Cecil and Mr. Beebe, they had Dexter as an asexual character, which is like, no, Dexter wasn't asexual. He was a sociopath.
Yeah, this is Dexter.
That's
from
not the same
show
thing.
Dexter, where he's a serial killer.
Yeah. And like Hannibal Lecter.
Yeah.
The serial killer cannibal.
Another character who's on the list is Sheldon Cooper from The Big Bang Theory. BBT. Sheldon Cooper is, like, a funny one, I think, because the writers worked really hard to try to make him really humane, or just, like, relatable and, like, comfortable. But, like, he still was, like, a weirdo, you know? Like, at the beginning of the show, he's, like, the biggest freak.
He was, like, the weirdo of the weirdos.
Yeah, exactly. And then, like, throughout the show, they've been endearing him more and more, and part of endearing this character has been giving
him a relationship.
Mm-hmm, to give him a potential partner, like, love interest.
Yeah.
And, like, him being on this, like, asexual character, like, representation list is frustrating to me. I mean, like, I'm sure you as well. Because his, like, asexuality is based in him being, like,
really poorly socially integrated.
There also, I think, is often like a weird conflation of asexuality and autism.
Yeah, like, totally.
People with autism are seen as like, there's this weird, like, people with autism have difficulty like interacting with other people, therefore like they don't want to have sex, which is like, people with autism want to have sex.
Yeah.
Like, not necessarily all of them, but that's like such a strong statement to make.
You cannot
about like such a diverse community. And then like again, kind of equating sex and romance, of being like, people who are asexual don't want to have romance. They like aren't able to have this kind of relationship. Like, their social skills are like somehow physiologically underdeveloped, mm-hmm. and like they have like just like such a bizarre conflation of two. Like, there's no correlation at all.
So those are a few examples of like mental and social and psychological kind of like barriers or like weird explanations of asexuality in characters, or like,
yeah,
that kind of lend themselves to apply that label to these characters.
Often with asexuality, because people don't understand it at all, like it's difficult for people to conceive of it. They like try to conceive of it by giving it some like external reason.
Yeah, but so probably the most frustrating thing on this list to me, and this was just like, again, like a Wikipedia list of like asexual characters in film and literature and TV. Mm-hmm. But was this House episode, where, like, for those of you who don't know, House is like a doctor show. So this couple comes in and they both identify as asexual. And
hormone levels are normal. This woman seems perfectly healthy. What does it matter if she says she's asexual?
It's the fundamental drive of our species. Sex is healthy.
You're gonna have to accept she just doesn't want sex.
Lots of people don't have sex. The only people who don't want it are either sick, dead, or lying.
Actually, like, it's not that they both go in to the doctor. One of House's colleagues is seeing this one woman who identifies as asexual, and the colleague is interested in asexuality as a sexuality, and House refuses to believe that it exists. And he, like, bets $100 that he can prove that this patient isn't actually asexual. And like, throughout the episode, people are like, it's a valid sexuality. Like, maybe she's just asexual. And he is so insistent that asexuality doesn't exist that he, like, very invasively then starts probing her partner and being like, there must be something wrong with her partner, like, some physiological thing wrong with her partner that, like, is causing her to say she's asexual. And in the end, the partner has, like, a brain tumor or something that's prohibiting his sex drive. And so he ID'd as asexual. His sex drive is coming back. And it turns out his partner was just saying that she was asexual to make him feel better. It's his persistence in refusing to accept asexuality as a valid sexuality, like, went so beyond the realm of one, like, who cares?
Yeah.
Like, this is not your problem.
Totally.
And two, like, how dare you, like, be so invasive in, like, that couple's partnership? Like, that's so bizarre to me.
And also that it's, like, a brain tumor. Like, it's the most deadly, like, something, like, so catastrophic in someone's life that would, like, ever make anyone identify with, like, this experience is, like, near death.
Like, something really wrong has to be happening for you to possibly ID as that.
We love BoJack Horseman.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this one character, Todd, who recently came out as asexual on the show.
Todd, can I ask you something?
Of course.
What's your deal? I feel like you like me, but you don't like me, but you like me, and I don't know what that is. Are you gay?
Whoa, why would you even...
You can tell me if you're gay, it's fine. This isn't the 1600s.